Anyone receives revelation in the Word of God, it sometimes conflicts with what he has previously been taught. This causes you to have to deal with old traditions or wrong teaching. These tapes may contain some new light from God's Word, and it may be opposed to some traditions you have previously learned. Therefore, follow through these messages in your Bible, in sequence, in order that you may be able to make a choice for the Word of God rather than the traditions of men. This is tape number 4 in a series. We urge you to listen to all the tapes in the series in numerical order so that the whole teaching can be received and understood. Listening to a part of this series or to the tapes out of sequence can lead to a misunderstanding of the nature, the intent, and the importance of this series.
Well, I hear you've been having a good time here at night. Oh boy, that's just great. I think a lot of people find out they're free. Well, I wish I could have been here with you. We've also been having a good time over at Park Avenue with Peter Lord and of the evenings. Now, we have been talking about the covenant. And will you agree with me that there's been a lot of things hidden from us about the covenant? There has been a lot of deception, hasn't there? All right, what we want to begin talking about today is the forces that have brought this deception to us, the forces that we have been prevailed upon to ignore. And when you're ignoring the devil, he really doesn't flee, does he? While we've been ignoring him, what he's done, he has been perverting everything. He's been perverting righteousness. He's been perverting holiness. He's been perverting discernment. He's been perverting overcoming the world, the flesh, and the devil. If you're not overcoming the world, the flesh, and the devil, the world, the flesh, and the devil is overcoming you. If you're not doing signs and wonders, you'll become a sign and wonder. That's one of the, that's over in the curses in 28th chapter of Deuteronomy. And all signs and wonders that we do is against Satan. We don't need to protect him anymore and his demons. They've run this thing long enough, haven't they? And I want you to realize, and I'm dead serious with you folks, and this is why it's so important to me that that you don't let your mind drift off when the Lord's putting the Word in your heart and mind of a morning, that you have to take thoughts captive, because the enemy, while he's doing that, will shoot you a dart in there, something he knows you're going to have to do during the day to get your mind off the Lord and get it on the worries of the world. That is a war. And when you have time with the Lord that he's speaking and talking to you, oh, I'm telling you what to do, you get your mind trained, and nothing else is important except to hear from him. You forget about time and everything else. Now, what we want to begin sharing about this morning is the war against the covenant. And there is a war against the covenant. It's everything that God is, there's a counterfeit of. There is a mystery of godliness, and there is a mystery of iniquity. Another way to say it, there's Christ and Antichrist. And you know, we have a choice. Where are we going to walk? And where are we going to receive? You know, the Holy Spirit wants to be an expression of the Lord Jesus Christ in the flesh, through the flesh, in us. But also the counterfeit of this is that the spirit of Satan, which is the demons, want to be an expression of Satan through people, which he is all through this world. I mean, this world is an expression, and the people of this world are an expression of Satan. And this is what we're called out of. So another way to say it, that the mystery of godliness is a process that of God being manifested in the flesh, and the mystery of iniquity is a process that Satan is manifested in the flesh. Now, you're going to come in to understand this right here. And I want to tell you right now, that what we share with you, when we get to Saturday, it's going to be one of the most amazing times you've ever spent in your life, what we dig out of this Word. I want to tell you in advance. And I want to tell you something that what we're sharing here is not the whole loaf, but I want to tell you that today is a time of grace, that God is fast revealing the hidden things of this Word, and no smart folks are figuring it out. It's all grace. And He wants you to be in the Word, and He wants you to receive from Him. And the Lord can show you something that the whole world doesn't know. But we are going to first look at the mystery of godliness, and I don't want you to turn, but in 1 Timothy it tells it about the great is the mystery of godliness. And see, when the time came for Jesus to redeem men from the curse of sin, it was necessary for Him. He laid aside His heavenly glory, and He became a man, didn't He? He took on the robe of flesh. Christ descended from the throne. He laid aside His crown and His robes. He arrayed Himself in the garment of a servant, and doing this, He subjected Himself as a servant. We know in 1 Corinthians 15 that Jesus was a second Adam. Now, there's a lot of remarks and things that I told you yesterday down here that's going to start clearing up today. He was the second Adam, and this is on your notes. And I hope that you'll make sure that you have a list of all the Scriptures, because that's important. When you become in covenant with God Almighty through Jesus Christ, I want you to know that you are a new creation. Old things have passed away. You no longer walk, talk, and act like the world. You die to the lust and deceit of this carton. And you're a new creation. And Jesus was the firstborn of that new creation. He came, and He was called and is called the Son of Man. That's where He took on our name. We know that in 1 Timothy 2 that when Jesus returned to heaven, He returned with a glorified flesh body. For there is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ. Now, you remember when we're talking about and what Jesus came to do to make covenant with us, that the Spirit of God would come in us, that they'd write this covenant in our hearts, and that through us, that the Spirit of God would be an expression of God. Now, the opposite of that is Satan and the works, the mystery of iniquity. See, that is the opposite of the of godliness. And I just want to give you some comparisons, because this is something coming to you all the time. And if you have no discernment, if the Spirit of God not there to show you the difference, you'll believe that bitter is sweet. You'll believe that darkness is light. In other words, you absolutely, the people of this world, I don't care how much they've got, what kind of name they have, or what their position is, or who they think they are, I want you to know they're slaves of Satan. They're puppets. The very last one of them. And you're going to see this in the Word. Because we're moving into this thing now. We just kind of talked about it a little as we were sharing about covenant. And I want you to know that these forces of darkness are set on destruction. Their schemes is to kill you. Everyone in this world destroy them continually. And they are effectively doing it, and they're laughing their heads off. They gleefully rejoice and to cause you to stumble, to take every bit of joy or anything good in your life to destroy it and take it from you. They rejoice in destruction. And we choose. We choose where we want to live and where we want to walk. Christ came in His Father's name. You've got to understand this. Everything that God is, there's a counterfeit of. See, Christ came in His Father's name. The Antichrist come in Satan's name. Christ humbles Himself. All right, then you see the Antichrist. Christ over here, you'll see the world over here, and you'll see what the Satan is doing with the world. See, like Christ humbles Himself over here, and he wants us to humble ourselves. Well, over here, the Antichrist exalts Himself, and of course, when He exalts Himself, He exalts the things in the world. Christ is despised, the Antichrist is admired, and that's the way it is in the world. Selfishness, self-centeredness. Christ does the Father's will, the Antichrist does Satan's will. Christ came to save, Antichrist came to destroy. Christ is the true vine. The Antichrist is the vine of the world. Christ is the truth. The Antichrist is a lie. Christ is the Holy One. The Antichrist is a lawless one. Christ is the Son of God. The Antichrist is a son of perdition, Satan. Christ, the mystery of godliness, is God manifested in the flesh. The Antichrist, the mystery of iniquity, be Satan manifested in the flesh. And you know that you're going to know them by their what? And we are going to see that all of us, you remember the scripture in Isaiah where the trees of the field clap their hand? And you'll see what kind of seed is on your soil, but what kind of fruit. Whose seed? If you're receiving Satan's seed up here, the demon's seed right here, you're bearing fruit from it. You're walking around as a tree, an expression of Satan, because you walk, talk, and act like Satan, because you become in the image and likeness of Satan when you receive those seed into your heart and your land. Are you hearing me? Now, the opposite of that, see, the only way you can be fruitful for God is walking in covenant, so here is His seed. And this seed comes into you, and in your land, you're a tree of the field. When you receive this seed, it performs its work in you, and then you become fruitful, and you walk, talk, and become the image and the likeness of God. And that's the reverse order from Adam where he fell. He started up in the image and likeness of God, didn't he? And then he became earthly. Is that right? So now we know the process is reversed. Isn't that right? Because we're being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, who is the exact image and representation of God Almighty. Is that correct? Now, when you find out, have understanding what the enemy is doing, folks, and then you see where you are right here in the Word, you know what happens? Brother, you know how to deal with it. You can't deal with it when you're playing church and funeral. This is serious. The bottom line's heaven or hell. I mean, for many people, I mean that sit on church pews and people all around us. This is serious. It doesn't matter. It matters what people think, but it matters more what God says. That's what matters. Because we'll say what God says. See, Satan has saw that he couldn't stamp out the church by violence, which is what he's done, and persecution. So Satan today has changed his tactics, and he's seducing the church to conformity to the world. You realize that? The church is being seduced and conforming to the ways of walk, talking, and acting like the world. Well, he's got them. His hope is this gospel of social service or form. See, a form of godliness is not godliness. Amen. It will take the place of the gospel of grace, and it diverts or perverts. If he can't prevent something, he perverts it. And then the attention of the church will be turned from the Word, which he's effectively done. Now, I want to share with you something that happened with me as a new Christian. A very broken life. One of the most broken lives you've ever known. I'm telling you, as a child, let me just tell you the truth of it, a very demonized child. Tormented child. And as I was in school as a small boy, and I saw I was a little quicker, and I realized that in the first couple of grades than some of the others. But an interesting thing happened. I started to get slower, and the rest started getting faster than me, because there was something happening to me. And this environment and my life and the powers of darkness were just taking more of my life. I came to a place in school I couldn't even study. I couldn't get it. I never did get out of high school. I got out with a test, but I did. I come to the place where I couldn't even study books. And I just tried such a tormented person. And I'll not go through all 43 years old, and somebody asked over there, so might as well tell you I'm 54 now. So I've been a Christian for 11 years. And in these 11, I'm telling you, I was a dying man. And it was all over. You talk about zero with the rim off of it. Now, brother, that's where the Lord came to me. And if there's anybody that has any understanding or comprehending the grace of God, I want to tell you what I do. Because he came to someone that made a mockery of him. I mean, just I want to give you an example. You know the song that we sing when we all get to heaven? I was a steel rigger foreman. And I used to do things it's just kind of like the devil. You know, when you blow on the devil, who do you act like? You act like the devil. And I would kind of get them to sing our song. We call their song, When We All Get to Heaven. Ha, ha, ha. And then is that dying person that was crawling around on the floor as I was later on, so slobber running off my chin. And God in His grace just came and changed my life overnight. And I to wake up the person that I became overnight. I can't tell you, folks, when you're already tied in a knot, and this is a night that I die and go to hell. When I go to sleep, this is a night because I knew I was the rottenest person to ever live. I knew me better than anyone. And then to find myself in the place of grace that the Lord had put me. And so I just became very serious about what God said. And I still am. Because no one could help me. I mean, it was really all over for me. But the devil had just beat my brains out. I couldn't tell you the time. We're not any image building except Jesus, are we? I was in more than one mental hospital. Because, see, I didn't know to turn to Jesus because when I was a small boy, what I saw in things in church, I knew that they couldn't help me. They couldn't even help themselves. And I always kind of thought if they got a place in heaven, surely to God, I've got one somewhere. I remember the first place. I was in this veterans hospital for 6 months. I'd been drugs. And at the end, I told this man, I mean, I was around 30-something years old then, and I felt all the change I had because I couldn't understand all these, why all these things just happened. See, I'd been beat to pieces. What I know about demons? I was in church and didn't even understand about Jesus. And so, I just poured out. I told this man, this is the final day where I was going to get to, we was going to have our conference. And I was going to get the answers of life from this man. And he sat across his desk from me and he said, Milt, when you first came here and began sharing with me the things that you shared with me about yourself, I bothered to check in your home territory to see if these things were true. I called long distance, and I found out they were. He said, Milt, and here it's coming. And see, I'm not just sitting there. I'm leaning forward, folks. You don't know. You can't know what kind of a hurting man that I was. And I was leaning forward to hear. I wanted to hear the answers to this because, I mean, I figured this is all right. I'd have put your part to live like this. So I leaned forward and the man said, Milt, what you need is a religious experience. But you can't have one. I don't know, the only other place I had to turn, they couldn't do anything with me, to probably turn to God, and someone was cutting me off right there. He said, but you can't have one. And the only answered I could have in life, he already told me what it was, and then turns around and says, I can't have it. And see, my confidence, my heart is to this person. See, my heart's not on the Lord. My heart's trusting this man. He said, because, Milt, you can't have faith. Now, what do you think that the demons did right then? I was talking to a demon. And I left there. And what do you think? Do you think things got better? No, they got worse. Well, I won't go into anything else. And hell. I went back to that motel room. And I hadn't even thought of it. And all the Lord just spoke to me. Said, now, Milt, do you remember when you were here before in this town? You remember what was happening to you? And now I want to remind you who's working through you. Because now you have me. And I just almost went through the wall. It's all great. So So what did the Lord, what would the Lord do with somebody that had just, I mean, such torment? I just can't tell you. I used to go for 5 days and nights and not even eat or sleep. Drugs. I couldn't tell you the fact. See, I had to have an escape. I was so tormented. See, that's what a lot of people drink. That's the only thing they can find to escape, to get away from it. See, the enemy just gets you deeper. He's just like a, you know, you ever see a dog? He gets a hold and he gets a bigger hold and bigger. See, people get worse instead of better when they don't turn to Jesus. You see, I didn't know to. And I wasn't, the ignorance that I had wasn't being blessed. I mean, I'm telling you, I got worse. And then wouldn't it be just like God to take someone like me, a zero, to take a nothing and just turn him back against the powers of darkness? The Lord began showing me things as a brand new Christian. I don't have time to go into all these things, but he began a process of just showing me some things about the powers of darkness. And see, when I come to a place like I am before you right now, see, I know I don't have any natural ability, because I couldn't even carry on a conversation for 3 years after I was saved. I really couldn't see. See, the only time I could talk is when I was out witnessing, when the Spirit of God, I just love to hear myself talk, is the only time I could talk. Because of the brain cells and things through the surgery, I'd been on the heart and lung machine through the drugs and the thinking like that. And then the Lord in His Word just began restoring me. See, I know when I come up here and stand before you, see, I don't have any natural ability that I can fall back on. If it's not grace and if it's not God, every time I go, I'm sunk. Every time. Well, I'm going to tell you, God, son. He sure can do a bunch. He began showing me things about the powers of darkness, and they just continue just to beat my head off. Because it's a learning process. And when I first learned about it, I thought I'd just help him out, get rid of all of them. And he just let me just kind of flounder around until finally I quit talking to people about it. I set aside all the books, and I just quit. And when I got out of it, but then he could get into it. See, he could get me into it. And so I went to a lay revival. Not a lay revival, but I'd been going to lay revivals. I love to go to churches and have the fellowship with others where I take people out and go witness and things of this nature. And I was invited to come up to Graceland Baptist Church in New Albany, Indiana, which is in the greater Louisville area, right across the river from Louisville. It's the largest Baptist church in that area. It is the largest Baptist church in Indiana. And I was just went up there to witness. I took a Baptist pastor with me. I had a Methodist pastor with me. And was going there for 3 days. And when I got there, I won't go into the details, I'll just simply tell you that a demonized situation, just a man I knew in my heart, is in my heart to just do it. The Lord had already shown me things. I knew the man. Of course, he figured that he knew more than anyone there, and it wasn't that anything was wrong with the man. He's just doing all he knew, but the Lord had showed me a little more than he had him. And these people didn't know me, and I wasn't going to impress myself in front of them, and I was already... two pastors already set to leave, and I was fixing to leave. I knew the night before they was going to deal with this person. And so what happened right before he was getting up there, and I knew what he was doing and what he was saying was wrong, but he had good intentions. The man meant well by what he's doing. And all of a sudden, just bang, a headache come over him, not where he sat down, but it put him out on the floor. And I knew the Lord had just let him just kind of be removed out of the way, because he'd already put something in my heart. I was already seeing things like that. And so I immediately told them that I believe the Lord wanted to use me here. And we moved to another location. This pastor had about 10 people in his staff. Most all of them there. Jim Hilton was there. And that's back when I went through manifestations. See, I didn't know you didn't have to go through manifestations. And so this was one of those manifestation things, one of those Hollywood things, you know, that we've been programmed to come to our mind when you see something like this. It's not like television in Hollywood, okay? But anyway, the pastor saw this man being set free. All of them did. He couldn't touch me. And I'll not go into the things that happened there. But like I tell you, I don't go through manifestations. Usually if I see manifestation, I say, well, I go witness to that person, tell them about Jesus so they can get saved, or else put them out because they're letting the devil use them to disrupt or something. And if they're not put, they don't want to be put out, I just cast it out from where I stand. But in this particular situation, as this, I never heard such crying and brokenness behind me as I was hearing this particular time. And this was pretty intense. Now, see, what would take me 3 days to do back then, I do in 5 minutes now, or three. But see, I just didn't know, and they still, things will change a year from now. From right now, you have to walk on what light you have. You don't get boxed into somebody else. You just get boxed into Jesus. And so, I just had to turn around and look, and I turned around and looked at this pastor, and it was a pastor. He had a hand up there, and just, I remember the color just ashen, and he was, I never seen such a broken man in my life. And of course, I realized and found out later what he's thinking. He's going back all the years of his ministry, where he'd taught in seminary at the same time. He was teaching often over in seminary over in Louisville, and still was this summer. He's going back through all the years of his ministry and all the hurting people and all the time he'd been dealing with the symptoms instead of the source. This man on Sunday morning he absolutely bent himself over the altar. Right, instead of being there for that day and going there for 3 days, I stayed at Graceland Baptist Church as this revival continued over 4 months. I stayed there for 3 months. And day and night, all I did was cast demons out of church members. I started with the South. And pretty soon after 3 months, see, I already knew people was walking in the walls had demon problems, but what I was encountering right there, I was getting information. I'd finding out how these demons got into these people. I'd finding out how long they'd been there. I was finding out about sickness and disease. And I tell you, I never heard anything like this in my life. I never read anything in the books or heard anything like this. I mean, a whole bunch in bondage. And I see, that just wouldn't compute. And here I am talking the thing. I'm casting them out of them. The ones that meant business about walking the Lord stayed free. The others just, they just come back. That's how they got there in the first place. People walking out of their carton. I had a rest after I left there that 3 months. I went to 6 or 7 churches the next year, and all 6 or 7 pastors, every pastor went to needed deliverance from demons. Is this telling you something, folks? Is this trying to tell you that there might have been someone asleep around today? Are you beginning to see it? The only thing that matters is what God says. See, you've learned enough to know it. You better not be afraid of demons. You better be fearing God. Is that right? I gave a testimony in a convention center there with James in January this last year, and I came to a point where I said something about demons. And I watched this puzzled look on people's face. You know, we've been so programmed that, you know, demons, they can't get past the stained glass. They sure won't come past that. And I saw this puzzled look, and then I don't know, I just said this. I said, folks, if Christians can't have demons, then the top evangelists and pastors in the Baptist denomination are lost, because I've been watching the Lord set them free from demons. And it got quiet, kind of like it is here right now. There's a war against the covenant, folks. It's a war as Jack says, we hadn't showed up for it. So what do you think the enemy's been doing when you don't show up for the war? And so God in His grace, from the time that I told you that I was 43 years old, I saw the church in bondage. I knew it was in bondage from Thomas. Who are you going to go tell something? You can't go tell anyone anything spiritual. Just get that straight. The only thing that's related spiritual is what the Spirit of God relates. Or you can relate it, but no one can't see it. Because when you start talking to someone, when you start talking, it's just like when you go to witness, say somebody else talking to them too. And they already got that person programmed, and they'll talk them out of it. That's why when you go witness, you go and give them 25 straight things, and some off-the-wall things, the only thing on your mind, they're looking you right in the eye, and you know they're not hearing a thing you say. Because there's some other fishermen, too. They're called demons. They fish, and everything that God is a counterfeit of. And when you have understanding, folks, then you know how to walk in covenant, and you understand the Word of God. You've got an enemy. I'll tell you, this thing is serious, folks. It's more serious than what they think in Nashville. It's more serious than what they think in Rome, what the charismatics think, what the Pentecostal thinks, what anybody thinks. You understand that? Demons and folks have been running this thing too long. And God has given light, and He's given understanding, and it's grace. It's all God that no one should boast. He's not going to make any reputations for anyone. He's not going to make any name for any churches. Forget it. Or any people. He's making a name for Himself. Now, we're going to see how. And when we get through Saturday, you're going to see how the church got captured. But your Bible is sitting in your lap. It's there. Because I saw it, and I saw it everywhere but in the Word. I didn't see it here. It don't count. You can't walk on experiences. You can only walk here. And then the Lord went through a time when my wife and I were being tested, and there was rejection. There was a lot of rejection. You know, we found ourselves in a very lonely place, and we'd left some things, and the Lord, there's no phone calls, there's no people come around us. And it was during this time that the Lord began. Sometimes maybe I'd sleep 1 hour and the rest of the night He would keep me all night long, just showing me the things that I'll be sharing with you. And then I came to a place there, I looked at that Bible one day, and I got afraid. If I read one word out of that Bible, I believe I'd blow up, disintegrate, if I get one more thing out of that Bible that He had given me so much, because I didn't have sorted out what He had. See, He'd give me, I already saw it, but I didn't have it put together. And then I said, God, now You've showed this to me, and I see it, and I will say it. I'll proclaim it. But the thing about it, first place, I can't even go tell anyone what You've showed me. Because you can't do this in 25 words or less. Yeah, I'd like for you, when we get through Saturday, to try to put a label on this if you can. You just try to do it. And if you do it, I'd like to know what it is. All right, so I couldn't go tell anyone what I saw in this Bible that we're all supposed to be walking in. And the second place, I said, ain't no church let me share what You showed me there anyway. So there, I've got it, now what? And it just like God to have one of the biggest evangelists there are in the country to call me. Say, well, you go on a trip with me. And you get on a trip, and then I get to reading the Word and get to pray with him, and God just changed his life. Of course, you know it's James Robinson. And it just like God, if you can't get in a church, He just set up something at the evangelist's office right there and have a church come to you. And that's exactly what happened. It started out with 8 people, and it began increasing. It happened. Nobody planned it. It just happened. I mean, it happened. Well, if he got changed, he wanted to stop. Staff got changed. And then he started getting other people. And the next thing you know, We moved five different times, and the place where we moved down at the Dunphy in Dallas is now filled up. Well, we're looking at another place to move to again, and God just keeps saying from a point of zero that God would turn around and just manifest His grace to somebody like me. See, I'm awed and humbled that I could ever say anything that you'd be interested in. You can't know what it is for me to stand before people and think that, you know, I'm so aware of that and see. But anyway, I'm going to do it in Jesus' name. But John 10:10 says, this enemy is killing you, destroying you and stealing from you. The Word says in the last days there's going to be a church that's falling asleep. Is that correct? Well, do you believe the church is ignoring the war? Don't tell me. We already left John 10:10. I just told you what's in it. When I tell you what's in it, it's no use reading it. Well, why is it we don't know anything about this enemy? It's been real convenient for them to ignore the minute. Has that been real convenient? See, if you don't ignore the devil today, like everybody else, you have an extreme view. If you don't ignore the devil like everybody else, you've gone off the deep end. If you don't ignore the devil like everybody else, you've gone charismatic, and that ruins you right then. In Baptist circles, I'll tell you some precious people, and I'll tell you they need about as much help as Baptist people. I'll tell you the whole bunch is in bondage. Can I just go ahead and tell you? What if someone come up to Paul, said, Paul, you see a demon behind every bush? Then Paul would have just stopped him. We wouldn't have had two-thirds of the Bible, New Testament, written, would we? Don't you know Paul would just sit down? God, now I can't go on in this apostle business, your word, because this is hurting my reputation. And my image is not looking any good to have to deal with demons, and so I can't write the Bible, God. You can't write none of the Bible through me. What about people with ministries today? God, I can't handle that part of the Bible because it'll hurt my ministry, and you see I'm helping you out with my ministry. Don't you never go away from here saying, I see a demon behind every bush. I see 75. And I'll be glad when the church sees them too. Said the gates of hell are not going to prevail against the church. The demons are tearing church doors down, folks. They're bouncing off the walls. Now, whether anybody receives it or not, it's up to them and God. As for me and my house, we're seeing people set free and turned and walking with Jesus. And I'm going to tell you what, the church is not going to walk with Jesus until they first get out of bondage. They're in bondage. And they're not going to get out of bondage if they don't like this kind of bread right here, folks. They never will get out of bondage. They're going to die in bondage. Because that's only, they'll come to this word. They'll be a lot more interested in this bread than they will that soup line bread out there before they ever get free. See, the church has been made so fearful and intimidated by demons, we ain't even supposed to talk about them. Isn't it? Let's just say it together one time. Demons. Come on together. Demons. Let's say it again. Demons. See, now, you got by with it, didn't you? You can talk about it. You don't have to keep your mind on them. What are we listening for this morning? The Word of God to come to our mind, see? Well, we can know about that in me, can't we? You can talk about Him in Jesus' name. You surely can. See, the demons cooperate with the traditions and everything, the whole congregation, to make them fearful. When you start to go over and get somewhere and get some truth to make, don't you go over there, you know, to make them fearful. And then when you start talking about the system, where the system don't line up with the Word of God, you know who comes and talks to you then? Demons of guilt. They make you feel guilty. Oh, don't talk about the system. Like the system is God. So we protect people from error and then hide the truth from them. You know it? Where did this all come from, not to talk about demons? Not in the Bible. Is it? Well, where did it come from to fear demons? That's not in the Bible. That's Hollywood television stuff. Inquire. Why have we been taught to ignore the devil? It's not in this Bible. Does it bother you when somebody gets upset and you get in parts of the Bible? Wonder who it is. Not to even resist the devil. Do you understand? You'll understand there's a lot more to it than saying greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world every 6 months. Or even how to resist the devil. We're gonna know how to resist him. You know why? Because we're going to talk about him. Do you know how demons deceive you? Should you know? You're warned in the Bible, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. Does that mean you're too smart to be deceived? Be deceived a bunch. Well, let me ask you, could you possibly have been deceived? Well, let me ask you something. If you was a demon, who'd you rather deceive than anybody? Ones that teach you? Let me put it this way. Could the people who's taught you be deceived? Might be possible, since they ignore the devil. As the most part, not all. Well, once again, may I ask you this? Does deceived people know he's deceived? Does a false prophet know he's a false prophet? Does a false teacher know he's a false teacher? Abhor one. I know you've seen it many times, but I think the Lord would just have you just look at it right now. Now get your scissors ready. If you run into something you don't like, just cut it out. First Timothy 4, verse 1. But the Spirit explicitly says that in when? Later time, some will what? They're going to fall away from the faith. What's going to be their problem? First, they're paying attention to what? Looks like they're still going to be around in later times, doesn't it? They're not dead yet, are they? They're not in hell yet, are they? Whenever you hear the expression, a demon from hell, I want you to know they're not in hell yet. Will you remember that? They're all over Merritt Island. See, when you understand that the people out here in this world walk, talk, and act like Satan, and are image of Satan, and the likeness of him. And then when you are supposed to be an image and the likeness of Jesus, you walk in love. Every time you get around them, you convict them. It convicts them. That's why they hate you. Because people don't like to be convicted of selfishness and self-centeredness. Because that's what carton and demon talk is. They tell them. See, demons, the flesh likes for demons to talk to them. Because the demons are always there to pull those levers to tell them how to take advantage. And when you ever get in agreement in your heart with a demon, he just moves in and just at that house with you. And the only way you'll get him out is this right here, with this sword right here. Because he's stronger than you are. But it helps you take better notes, doesn't it? So they're paying attention to deceitful spirits. Now let's just decide right now. Can a deceitful spirit deceive you? Can a deceitful spirit deceive the ones who teach you? That's possible? Okay. Particularly if they don't even know anything about this verse, right? All right, then the next part. People will fall away because of doctrines of what? Are we taught to ignore the devil? Have we been taught to ignore the devil? As a matter of fact, there's some reaction from the teachers when you don't ignore this verse. Is this in your Bible? What I'm reading right here in your Bible? All right, then, if the ones who teach you don't understand this scripture, could they be deceived by deceitful spirits? Could they be deceived by doctrines of demons? Since they're stronger, the demons are stronger, Since they're smarter, I'd say if you ignore God, that you could be deceived. Because, let me just tell you, in most seminaries, they only make a vague reference to that scripture. And the powers of darkness, you know, just write and read through it like, you know, there it is, we've said our words now, and we just go ahead and live our cartons. Everything's all right. Well, it's not that way. It's not that way at all. I want to ask you something. We need to just kind of look at this situation just a little bit. Do you ever notice how easy it is to think about what's wrong? How your mind stays full of what's wrong? Do you ever notice how hard it is to keep your mind on the Lord? Well, where do you think those lust pictures come from? That's them. You know, people in the world out there, they you know, this lust picture. I used to do it myself. I used to enjoy lust in those pictures and everything. You know why? Would come into my mind as they come in your mind. And I used to think everything happened up there was me. I thought that's just me. I was being told them, see, a demon spirit was being an expression of Satan through me, being manifested in the flesh. Who do you think that is that talks to you when you start to pray? Tells you don't pray. You don't feel like it. You ever notice how many things happen for you to go do when it's time to pray? That's them. Do you ever notice when you start to read your Bible? What happens when you start to read your Bible? Do you ever notice all the things you have to do when you read the Bible? Kind of get bothered a lot. Your mind drifts and everything. You start reading the Bible, doesn't it? You don't have that kind of problem when you read newspaper, do you? I can't hear you. Just when you go to see it around the Bible. That's them. Same thing when you start to go to the altar. Who do you think it is talks to you back there and begins showing you people? Pride. That this won't look good. To tear brown over there. Huh? Intimidate you? And then you say, and then you won't act like a child because you don't want to come and you don't want to humble yourself. You know, God said He resists the proud and He gives grace to the what? See, you know what a child is? He humbles himself before the Father. Do you ever notice that when you do get down here, you don't never get to talk to God sometime because your mind gets filled with what they're thinking back there. Kind of looks like it got past the stained glass, doesn't it? You ever hear a car fever? Just got to have that car. And then heart just begins drawing. You do anything, go in any kind of bondage, financial and everything. I see that car. I've got to have that car. That painted red piece of steel. That car's an idol. See, God wants your heart to come toward Him like that, not a painted piece of steel. Who do you think does that? You ever notice after you get it, you start to park it, and right before it parks it, say, well, if you just pull it over here a little bit, they could see it a little better. And very minor things are just controlling your life all the time. Every time you go to buy clothes, when you go to buy your clothes, you remember all those pictures that come to your mind when you start to get that shirt or that dress? And that little voice up there just begins telling you, you're the best looking carton in town. That's called a demon of pride. See, your flesh is in agreement with it. See, it's supposed to be dead in your flesh. See, cartons like it. They just like it. Heart just lifted up. Where's a person like that going to God? Nowhere. Nowhere. He's not going anywhere. You stand back there to give a testimony. Do you ever notice all this spirit just attacks you in here? Every demon in the house will hit you right in there. Same way when you get around a wreck. Do you know when you start walking near a wreck? How the fear is that you start getting them and you ain't even saw what happened yet. You're just getting near it. That's them. See, if you start getting free, it'll get contagious, you know. The demon's got to stop this. They want you to be free. You know, when you first lift up your hand, you just start, kind of like this. See, all the way through this Bible, they did it. He's just God, that's all. A holy God. It sure matters what Tara Brown thinks, you know, when you're going to just... What are you supposed to come to a place like this for? To worship the Lord, isn't it? See, if he wants to watch somebody on television that's to abuse the truth or merchandise it, and then they want to put that picture, well, you know, God, I'm not going to praise you. I can't praise you, God, because I've watched somebody abuse it. And I'm not going to be like them, so I'm not going to be like you. Because I'm more concerned about my reputation and my carton image than humble myself and praise you. We feel it inside, but we just don't show it. Folks, who do you think is continually dividing your home? Where do you think that tension comes from? Somebody just walk in front of you. Where do you think that rebellion comes from? It's in your children. Who do you think is dividing you at work? Jobs, all this dissension and everything. Who do you think is dividing the congregations like this? Why not? If there's a war going on and you're not in it, why not? If you're wiser than God, why not? If you've got pride. Pride doesn't need God. It's self-sufficient. Isaiah 65:2 says, these people are rebellious. I'm going to tell you what it says. It's on your notes. They walk in a way that's not good. Well, what's not good, Lord? Walk. They are led by their thoughts. See? Everybody is led by their thoughts, but you have to discern your thoughts, and only the Spirit of God can do it. Just forget it, folks, that you're going to be able to learn something or get in a seminar or something like that, and then you're going to be able to know it and do it. I'm going to tell you what, every minute of your life, it's grace, and it's all the Spirit of God. It's all the Spirit of God. Now, we've talked about this war being up here. Now let's look at it in the Word. You need to look at it in the Word. So let's turn to 2 Corinthians 10, please. 2 Verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, now we walk in the flesh, but we don't walk after the flesh. Is that right? We walk in the flesh, we do not, what's that word? We do not war. Please circle war. Now we've already decided you can write in your Bible, and when I make emphasis on this, either mark them or circle. War. For the weapons of our what? Warfare. Does it sound like a war? It sounds like a serious war. We already find out what this enemy does. Let me just tell you, this enemy is a million times worse than Russia and more. Because this enemy destroys you forever. I hope you see that. If you don't see it, you're going to lack church and funeral again. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. And here is the war in 5. We are destroying with this our weapons. We already know where we get our weapons come from, don't we? Where's our weapons come from? We saw it over in Ephesians 6, didn't we? Did we see how we put on the Lord Jesus Christ? Those are his weapons that he's given us. And this is how we stand against this enemy in verse 5. We are destroying what? Speculations, thoughts, imaginations, and every lofty what? Thought, just right thought right there. Every lofty thing or thought, it's raised up against the Word of God, where it says knowledge is right the Word of God. That's what it's saying. And we, here is the war, that you're taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Is that correct? Would God tell you that you take every thought captive, and if you couldn't take every thought captive? Would your Lord say that you overcome the devil if you couldn't overcome him? Well, you sure don't do it ignoring it. You do it by listening to God, don't you? And acting on him. Well, this is, I want you to know right now, I want you to understand this right now, that you can take every thought captive. And you're not going to be walking. And I'll tell you, I don't care what shepherd ever is, where there is any shepherd, he is not shepherding of any flock. I don't care who he is or where he is, if he is not dealing with the powers of darkness. Because everything he does, the powers of darkness just snatch it right away. You ever see these people? And say, we just almost went over. We almost went over. We just almost going to get over. Up here at the top one day, and the next day they're down on the carpet. Almost went. You're not going to go over until you get rid of them. And you can't. Because they'll see it to it that you don't go over. All the time looking for bodies. And when you get in agreement with them, you say, there's lust. That's what we're talking about, lust. And here he comes along with lust. So I want to show you a little movie today, Bill. And here comes those little pictures. And he's standing there, supposed to be the image of Christ, receiving all of this smut and junk about this man's wife over there. And you know what? His heart gets in agreement with a demon of lust. And a demon of lust. When your heart gets in agreement with him. Come in, Mr. Lust. Boy, I like you. So if you don't like the Spirit of God, do you know what he's doing right then? He's shaking his fist right in God's face. Let me tell you another way to put it. Every time that anyone ever hurts you or disappoints you, you ever notice immediately in your mind there's a case building up? Mary shouldn't have done that to me. As many things as I've done for her and so forth. Still shouldn't have done that. That's them folks. They're right there, that quick. He shouldn't have done that to me. I've done all this and this and this. And see, you know what that is? That's unforgiveness. That's a demon of it. See, the opposite of forgiveness is what? That is a demon of unforgiveness. Resentment. And see, what did the Bible already said? Forgive. You shouldn't even be listening to that. That's how you resist the devil. You don't listen to it. You choose to forgive. But see, so you listen right there. And say, sure, sure, Mr. Unforgiveness, she sure did. Boy, Mr. Devil, that's right. I sure do agree with you. That's true. And then what you're doing, what God sees in your heart right here, you're shaking your fist in God's face, and you're saying, God, I find greater treasure in unforgiveness than I do forgiveness. Bang! You get the other spirit. And then, every time anyone crosses your track, it's unforgiveness. Then the family starts moving in. You have resentment. You have unforgiveness. And then the next one it moves in is a demon of criticism. Anybody has unforgiveness? And anyone that has resentment, they're critical of everything. They're fault-finding, judgmental, critical. And then it moves in. And this demon's right there just pull a lever. He just pulls a lever on criticism or unforgiveness. Anybody say that? The next thing that moves in is the demon of hurt feelings. Anyone just come near you, just hurt feelings. And it goes on down the line until you get to bitterness. And things get worse instead of better. And there is bitterness. most miserable people in mind just stay right on their carton all the time, see. And they'll stay bitter, and they'll stay miserable. If they live to 175 years old, they'll stay just like that until they repent. They'll love that person, they'll be in agreement with God, or they'll stay that way. And you know who moves in after bitterness? Diseases. Now see, if you don't have understanding, then you just go ahead and be bitter and call diseases blessings instead of seeing what it is. See? Yeah, can I remind you of the verse in Jeremiah 10:14, that all mankind is stupid and devoid of knowledge. Does it kind of sound like it? When you find out what the devil's been doing to you, you're going to find out how stupid folks are. You're going to find out that folks are not too smart after all. See, the powers of darkness use people, and they don't even know it. They don't even suspect it. They capture them, and they don't even know it. They use them and capture them. See, demons are all the time. Here's the kind of thoughts they're putting into your mind all the time. See, cartons like these kind of things that demons talk. They like the ministry of... And the, all right, let me just put it, tell you another. You know what you're going to find out? You know who the God of this world is? Who? That's who. That's Jesus calling the prince of this world. You know who the gods of this world are? Demons. You praise the gods of wood and stone and silver and gold. And see, they bring these stone and wood, silver, gold, brass, copper to get a person's heart. They steal a person's heart by talking to him up here. Get your heart to go after wood. And so that's where the people in the world are going after wood and stone. Are you seeing what I'm telling you? The $100 bills of silver and gold. Temporal things. They're the gods of this world. So you praise the gods of this world. Are you seeing how you can take the table of demons and take the table of the Lord at the same time? You can discern the body wrongly, can't you? Huh? Here's what they say. Cartons lack demons, although they appeal to the nature, the curse nature of the flesh, and the lifted up heart, I mean my, but while they're talking, they're destroying you. They are called tree cutters. And you'll see that a little later. But they'll tell you how to please your carton. Their thoughts, how to make your carton, how to please yourself, how to live for yourself. All their thoughts is, I mean my. You be Lord. How to be wise in your own eyes. They show you in every situation. Anytime anybody ever uses God, they show you. They come along and show you how to take advantage of it. They show everybody in the world. They come and tell you how you can take advantage of that person. That's why the people think they're figuring all the angles there while they're sitting somebody in that and think and be lifted up and think that's smart. Deceitful. You know, it's happened to all of you. You know how you're working all the angles while you look somebody, smiling at them in the face, sometimes shake their hand, put your hand on their shoulder, and how you used to could tell them a lie? I could. Just kind of shade the truth, seeking advantage. See, if they're talking to you, telling you to do it. See, cartons like this. How to be the center of everything, how to make a name for yourself. See, cartons welcome all these thoughts. You be Lord, and you know who's Lord when you're Lord? The lever pullers, Satan. When they can get you involved in I, me, my, see, selfish and self-centeredness, they've got you. You know, what's the opposite of selfish and self-centeredness? Love. That's where the Spirit of God is. It costs you something. You become a channel. It costs you something to love. But a selfish and self-centered want to get all you can and can all you can get. That's the world. That's the world. You don't walk, talk, and act like the world and receive from God. See, that's why the world and the church doesn't recognize demons. Are you seeing that? Check your head over here. The world and the church doesn't recognize demons because they're in agreement with them. See, the world and the church is just like the world out there. They're making their name for themselves, too, and their church, first, and things of that nature. See, the cleverest scheme of the devil today is to make men think that he does not even exist. The man in the red, little red suit with a tail. See, the church has amused tolerance for the devil, just like the world. Why is it the devil doesn't want us to know he exists? Because, see, you have weapons. He stays in hiding. First, if there's no enemy, there's no defense. If there's no defense, he just comes and goes how he wants to. That's exactly what he's been doing. Do you understand that? See, Satan has never been more successful than he is right now. And I want you to remember what the schemes are. He kills you, steals from you, destroys you, perverts doctrine, and deceitful, deceives, steals everything in your life. Takes everything out of your life you could enjoy. I want you to know this cart and this flesh lives for the world, and the spirit lives for heaven. Another way to say it, the inner man lives for heaven, wants to live for heaven, and the outer man, the cart wants to live for the world. It wants to find, so you're going to choose. You're either a spiritual person or you're a carting person. Because when you make covenant with God, what did he say? Die. Did Jesus die? Did he say you die? Or go ahead and walk, talk, and continue making covenant. See, you know when the demon comes and talks to you? And you get an agreement in your heart with him, you know what you've done? You're making covenant with Satan. Right, now, I hope you see what I'm just telling you right there. Because, see, have we got a lot more time left this week? We just now really got into this subject, right? I'm talking a lot about it this first half today. We're going to start seeing a lot of scripture. I'm just telling you how it is. You're going to see it in your Bible. It's been there all the time. While folks is wise in their own eyes. See, the outermost man is a physical body, so we speak of the inner man as a spirit, don't we? See, it's pretty quite evident that the whole world lives for the cart. You don't have any problem with that, do you?
This concludes tape number 4. Please fast forward this tape to return it to the beginning. Please proceed to tape number 5, where this message continues.